Now, you may have seen it in the paper a few weeks ago. There was a story of a woman who had bought a picture as part of a £5 box of trinkets that she picked up at the local flea market a couple of years ago. And she decided to keep the frame because it was a nice frame. She put another picture in the frame. And the picture that had been in the frame, she put it up in the loft and forgot about it, despite the fact that in the bottom right-hand corner was the name Renoir. Well, it was only this September when she decided to declutter her house that she took it to be valued. It was authenticated as genuine and estimated to be worth something in the region of £70,000. And the fact is that for many of us, the events of Christmas often receive similar treatments. They're there in the background, but their real significance and their real value often remain unappreciated. And so what I want to do in the next few minutes is to think again about the names that were given to Jesus in that second reading that we had. It's the one printed there on the service sheet from Matthew chapter 1. I guess for most of us, our names, frankly, are of little significance, aren't they? Except for the fact that our parents liked them. So my name, Simon, for example, I gather, means listening and obedience. So I think I can be fairly confident either that my parents were suffering from misplaced optimism or that they were completely clueless about what the name means. I suspect the latter. But the names Jesus are given here are full of meaning, they are full of significance, and together they explain for us, first of all, who Jesus is, and secondly, why he came. So let's look at each in turn. First of all, Jesus is God with us, because the first name I want us to look at is there in that middle paragraph. Let me read it again. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Notice we're given, first of all, the name, Emmanuel, but then secondly, the explanation of the name, the meaning, it means God with us. The birth of Jesus is no fairy tale or myth. These are historical facts we've been hearing and listening to this lunchtime. The existence of Jesus as a person is not in any doubt at all, historically speaking. So the issue is, well, who was he? And what does Matthew tell us? Jesus is God with us. And that is why the birth of Jesus was so unusual. A virgin birth. Mary and Joseph were engaged. We're told here, aren't we, how embarrassed Joseph was to discover that Mary is pregnant. A virgin birth is not an everyday occurrence. But then you see the coming of God himself into his world is not an everyday occurrence either. It's why in 2012, of course, we shouldn't dismiss the miracles of Jesus out of hand. Because if God really has come to earth, then we would expect unexpected things. We would expect things which are beyond our own experience, things which we haven't seen ourselves. We would expect those kinds of things to have happened. When Jesus grew up, he claimed to be God, and he did the kinds of things that only God can do. So on one occasion, he calmed a storm. The storm was terrifying, the local fishermen. It takes quite a storm, I take it, to do that. And he calmed the storm simply with a word, be still. And immediately, the storm stopped. There was no swell in the water. All was calm. Now, I can't even do that in my bath. You see, who can do that to the wind and the waves except the God who made the wind and the waves? The same day he raised the little girl back to life. Just imagine for a moment going to Bart's hospital over the road there and trying to do that. It would seem, wouldn't it, so completely inappropriate to do that for us. But of course, if you're the God who has power over life and death, then you can do that. You see, I guess some of us think to ourselves, well, I've never seen God. But if you had been there 2,000 years ago, you would have seen him. You could have heard him speaking. God has come to earth. And I take it it's a great thing to celebrate. It's one of the things to celebrate over Christmas. You often hear people talking, don't you, as if God is basically unknowable. That, you know, it's really up to us to try and work out what God is like. You know, one person may say he's like this, someone else like that, but actually we don't really have a clue. But God can be known. Not by us being clever enough to work it out for ourselves, but by anyone who is willing to consider the eyewitness accounts that we have of Jesus in the New Testament, in the Gospels, because God has made himself known. Which, of course, means that the coming of Jesus is not simply of significance for some people with a particular interest, you know, perhaps those who like singing carols, or those who like church buildings, or those who are into religion, those kinds of people. Rather, it is of significance for everyone, because here, you see, it is the Creator God who has come into the world. In other words, for all of us, you see, it's a moment, isn't it, to sit up and to take notice. I take it it's why the newspaper editors have been falling over themselves in the last couple of weeks, telling us that next year a new king or queen is going to be born. I gather that last Wednesday, the Daily Mail, not that I read the Daily Mail, but I gather they devoted 15 pages to the announcements that a new king or queen is going to be born next year. Because, of course, a future monarch is not born every day, and because the birth of a monarch has implications for all of us, doesn't it? I take it you could be the most ardent Republican. You could be saying, well, you know, I don't believe in monarchy. I don't believe there should be a monarch. But actually, the birth of this baby will be, even to the most ardent Republican, an event of the most enormous significance, because one day they may well grow up to be the future king or queen. Well, can you see, Jesus is God with us. Not just a nice story for the children at Christmas, but the living God intervening in history. Which wonderfully, of course, means that God needn't be a stranger to us. I guess some of us this lunchtime, frankly, God does feel as if he is a stranger to us. But he needn't feel a stranger to us. Ask those here today who are Christians, and they would testify to that, that Jesus is God with us. Well, that's the first name, but of course it begs the question, doesn't it? Well, if Jesus is God with us, God come to earth, why did he come? Well, let's look at the other name, the name we haven't looked at so far, at the end of that first paragraph. She will bear a son, and you shall give him the name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Notice again the name, Jesus, and the meaning, the explanation, he will save his people from their sins, because the name Jesus simply means the Lord saves. Now, sin is perhaps one of the most misunderstood words in the English language. We think you have to be someone like a Jimmy Savile to be given the title sinner. But actually, when the Bible talks about sin, when Jesus talks about sin, it is simply saying no to God. It is simply saying no to God being God in my life. We may still believe in God, we may still say our prayers, but we don't want God to be God over us. Okay? Now, in other words, I could be a very respectable person and be like that. I could be a terrible person and live like that. I could be a religious person and live like that. I could be an atheist and live like that. But whichever, we ignore God as far as day-to-day life is concerned. We enjoy all the gifts he gives us, friendship, family, food, fun, jobs, rest, but we don't want to know the giver. That is what the Bible calls sin. And I imagine that most of us, if we're honest, will recognize ourselves in the description. That is what all of us are naturally like, certainly what I'm naturally like. And how then, you see, do we relate to God? Well, here's a letter I found in the family archives recently. It's addressed to Father Christmas. For those who have better eyesight than I do, you'll be able to see the attractively decorated surround around the letter. Fortunately, few of you know my children, but here is the letter that was discovered in the family archive. Dear Father Christmas, how are you? always a good way to start. How are the reindeer? Bit of buttering up. I have been helping Mummy to do the washing up. Please can I have a toy microphone and a hoop? From, well, there's a name, an address, so that Father Christmas is in absolutely no doubt as to what the writer of the letter intends to happen. But isn't that how we naturally relate to God? Dear God, I've kept my side of the bargain. I've even helped Mummy with the washing up. And now I expect you to keep your side of the bargain. But of course, if that's the way the world works, we wouldn't need a saviour. We could save ourselves, rather like the man I was talking to a couple of weeks ago at a party here in the city. He assured me that he said his prayers. He assured me he'd like to go to church more often. I've kept my part of the bargain. God, I expect you to keep yours. But you see, Christianity is not about doing deals with God. Because Jesus Christ speaks more than anyone else in the Bible about the judgment day. Now, to our ears in 21st century London, that sounds completely out of place, doesn't it? But you see, Jesus Christ, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, is perfectly straight with us. There will be a judgment day, a day on which all of us will have to give an account. And therefore, what we need is forgiveness. We need a saviour. She will give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, let me just explain this. A few years ago, we were given a Christmas card which made this point brilliantly. In the middle of the Christmas card, there was the baby Jesus lying sweetly in a manger, a beautiful scene. You can probably picture the kind of thing in your mind's eye now. But then written alongside the manger, daubed in red blood, so to speak, were simply the words, born to die. Born to die. Because you see, that is why Jesus came. He died taking the punishment that you and I deserve for treating God the way we treated him. For living our lives as if God isn't there. He died so we can be forgiven. So we can be right with God, should we choose to be. Again, it's why Christmas is so worth celebrating, you see, because it opens the way to forgiveness, to be in the right with God. It opens the way to friendship with God, because to be a follower of Jesus is to be in a relationship with God. And it opens the way to a wonderful future, because that relationship with God, which starts in this life, when we begin to follow Jesus and trust in his promises, continues into the next life as well. I just think about how some of the most popular Christmas carols put it. Once in Royal David City speaks of Jesus who lived on earth, our Saviour holy. Silent Night proclaims Christ the Saviour is born. It's funny, isn't it, how we sing these carols again and again, and yet it is so easy to miss the staggering truths that they remind us about. Jesus is God with us. Jesus is God's Saviour. How did Joseph respond? Well, we're told in that final paragraph, he took God at his word. Well, I guess we'd do well, wouldn't we, to ask ourselves the same question. Will I take God at his word? Will I accept for myself the wonderful offer of forgiveness, of a friendship with God, of a future with God that he holds out to me? Now, perhaps you've never done that. Perhaps like that lady with the Renoir painting, perhaps you're familiar with the events of Christmas, but you've never really appreciated their true value and their true significance. In which case, let me make two suggestions. First of all, you'll see on the back of the service sheet there, we run a course in the new year called Christianity Explored. It's a course that is run by countless churches up and down the country. It's a brilliant way to investigate the claims of Jesus for yourself, either for the first time or as a sort of refresher course. And if you're interested in that, then do fill in your name and email. Stick it in the box by the door as you leave. If you can't do the particular date, fill it in anyway. We run other courses through the year as well. You might also like to take one of these booklets, The Real Christmas, just to do some Christmas reading on the way home this evening. It may, of course, be that you're dismissive of the Christian faith. But actually, there is good evidence for the reliability of the Bible. There is good evidence for the claim that Jesus is God in the flesh. Supremely, the evidence, of course, of his own resurrection. Again, that Christianity Explore course would be a great thing to do. If you've never investigated as an adult, why not do so in the new year? But there will be others here this lunchtime, and we do already know the forgiveness, the friendship with God, and the future that Jesus brings us. It's a wonderful thing to celebrate. Can I encourage you, if that is you, to ensure that whatever else you have on at Christmas, that actually you plan a Christmas that is thoroughly Jesus-centered. It's so easy, isn't it? We've got three kids. It's so easy for there to be endless other distractions. But above all, make sure you plan a Christmas that is thoroughly Jesus-centered.